why are you adamant on giving this trophy to a man in the women's 200 freestyle? When I started speaking out, I was terrified. I was so nervous that all the things they told me would happen would happen. I would never get a job. I would never get into grad school. I would lose my friends and my family and my scholarship and my playing time. None of those things happened. And know that courage begets courage. One person speaking out will lead to three more speaking out. It's like a wildfire. Female athletes with platforms and influence, if they could take a stand, this would be over. We have to stand together and say enough is enough.
All right, that's the voice of Riley Gaines, and you can probably guess the topic today, because we're trying to stop men from participating in women's sports. And really, if we could, I'll confess to you, I'd love to just erase transgenderism completely. You can't stop the feelings of people. There are ways to persuade them and make them whole, but we can stop hormones, we could stop transgender surgeries, and I hope, and pray that we're on our way to do that. But today, we're confining our discussion to what's happening to women athletes. And certainly you know about this. You know about the whole dust-up between Riley. Dust-up is too mild. The trauma between Riley Gaines and Leah Thomas. And we're going to talk about it today because today, in the Senate, they're trying to codify this protection for women. And so today is March the 3rd of 2025. It's the first vote. It's a vote on cloture, and then there will be votes after that. And so that means that when I ask you to call your senator, whoever they may be, whatever side you think they're on, especially the Democrats, you know, we're going to unite against this bill. This is the way we can stop this. President Trump signed an executive order, but that's not enough because when President Trump leaves, it will be gone if a leftist president comes back in. The House has already voted on this, and now it's the Senate's turn. It's called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, which is S-9 for Title IX. And so today we're going to talk to another athlete that actually was a teammate of Riley Gaines, who has her own story. It's really interesting, and she's going to join us in just a second. Well, we're talking a lot today about women's issues, and I will make the observation with Caitlin that all of these policies from the left that are supposedly all about women's rights are hurting women. And I can't think of a better example than the whole notion of abortion or the French abortion pill, the damage that it does to women. But, you know, when a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. And so many times her first response is to seek out abortion. That's what we're trying to stop. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search might lead her to a preborn network clinic where she will choose life, not just for her baby, but for herself. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life, which is why preborn sees an average of 200 babies saved every day. I want to tell you about one of those women. Her name is Aikaisha, and she found out she was pregnant. She was so nervous, and she had no idea what she should do. But God led her to a preborn clinic where she was given a free ultrasound and loved and embraced by the staff. Once she met her beautiful baby on ultrasound, she chose life for her baby and for herself. And that's the story time and time again when women are able to see their baby through this ultrasound that you provide. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. $28 will provide one ultrasound for these girls. And any multiple of that, any amount at all, is really appreciated by me and by Preborn. And so preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a voicemail. It's very simple. Just follow the prompts, and we'd love to hear what you think about what it is we're talking about on any given day. If you disagree, you agree, you have some other thing to share that you think I might not know, then call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on all the social media outlets that you like, your favorites like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and others, Telegram. You can also listen on any podcast platform. I don't know what your favorite is. Maybe it's Spotify. Maybe it's Amazon. Maybe it's Apple. But also, our home base is AmericanFamilyRadio.net. That's AFR.net. You can, of course, listen there. And there's another choice. You can go to my website, SandyRios.com, and listen very easily by clicking on the link. So there you have it. Today we have a very interesting story to tell you, the story of Caitlin Wheeler. And when you finish, I think that you'll be motivated to help the Senate pass this Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And we'll talk about it on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Riley Gaines wants the NCAA to reverse its policies that currently allow transgender athletes to compete in women's sports. It's a decision that would impact universities across Tennessee, but it's a decision the NCAA hasn't budged on.
It's been a few weeks since Tennessee lawmakers demanded change from the NCAA on what they call protecting women in sports, and still nothing from the organization. Sumner County native Riley Gaines is hoping the new Trump administration will step in. This after President Trump signed executive orders recognizing only biological women and men.
I think it's huge. We've seen a systemic erasure of women as a whole.
Gaines previously competed against Leah Thomas, a transgender athlete, before she spoke up.
With the stance I've taken comes a lot of backlash.
Last year, Gaines was among the plaintiffs who filed a lawsuit claiming the NCAA violated Title IX and asked the NCAA to reverse their policies. Title IX is based on ensuring there is no discrimination based on sex.
The Biden administration pretty radically rewrote this to equate sex with gender identity. Being injured in their sports, being violated in areas of undressing. But President Trump has said, look, we won't give federal funding to any public institution that allows for this anymore. And that's to come soon.
But transgender cyclist Darren Johnson dispute there are injuries or a lack of locker room safety.
If there's going to be anybody that's consistently scared in those spaces, it's going to be the trans and gender diverse folks. They're the ones who've been the most vilified.
Johnson points to there only being a small number of NCAA athletes and feels the NCAA is doing the right thing in giving trans women opportunities.
I believe in fairness in sports.
We reached out to the NCAA for comment and didn't hear back.
President Trump has not announced he will be signing an executive order yet to attempt to stop transgender participation in women's sports, but we will be closely monitoring it. Reporting live in studio, Karen Aguilar, Fox 17 News, your Code Red station.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I'm just wondering how our next guest is going to feel about what the transgender athlete just said, that it's the transgender females who'll be so frightened inside the women's locker rooms. They're the ones that will be most frightened. We'll talk about that. But the reason I'm talking about this whole issue, which has been in the news now for a couple of years, today is because, and I'm recording today, it's March the 3rd in real time, and I'm recording because tonight the Senate is going to file cloture on a bill called Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. It's S9 for Title IX. Title IX, of course, is that law that was passed a number of years ago, statute that assures that there's no discrimination, sexual discrimination in sports. It sprung out of the fact that boys' sports, all the money and resources went into boys' sports. At least when I was growing up, there were no women's sports like this. But they leveled the playing ground so that women could start to compete, have the equipment they needed, be able to travel. And that's what Title IX was all about. But, oh, baby, we've come a long way. Now we've got the Biden administration decided that sex also included transgender persons. And that's what started this whole mess. You know this, the story of Riley Gaines. She's been in the news a lot. But I wanted to introduce you to another girl who's been tremendously and personally affected by this. Her name is Caitlin Wheeler. Caitlin is a graduate of the University of Kentucky and a member of the women's swim team alongside Riley Gaines. She's an NCAA qualifier, a multiple-time All-American, an SEC champion. And she also, Caitlin, was named University of Kentucky's Miss Wildcat in 2023. Caitlin, why are you swimming, girl, so pretty? I'm wondering, is that something in the water?
Well, Sandy, you're so sweet. Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy, again, that so many women have had to take the stance in which we have. I'm thankful to have had a teammate like Riley, who was truly a leader, not only on our team, but now on this issue, certainly was prepared, I think, to kind of spearhead this movement and taking a stand for so many female athletes. I'm just very thankful for her and thankful for this fight that we have now taken a stand on. It's important. Today's a big day, and I think it's really going to be telling as far as the trajectory of women's sports and the direction that we're headed. So,
yes, let me interject that I think it was stated in the news report that was Fox National, by the way, that President Trump, I don't believe he signed an executive order on trans women in women's sports yet. He's declared that there are only two sexes, male and female, but he'll get around to the other one. But the problem is, no matter how many executive orders he signs, if Congress does not codify it in law, it will be gone after President Trump is gone. And that's why the Senate is moving ahead. And we'll talk about that because I want you to understand that. By the way, I'll just say, if you would like to call your senators right now, do that. I'd call them in their local offices. I always tell you that because that gets more attention. And then the national offices, and you, because you're a constituent when you call the national offices and you tell them how you feel about it. We'll get into the nuts and bolts about that. But I want to talk to Caitlin first about her own experience. Caitlin, can you kind of tell us, if you're, all of us have different interests. So for you, swimming, I guess, was probably your life from the time you were a young girl. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent 18 years of my life swimming and pouring into the sport hours and really, truly blood, sweat, and tears. My life revolved around my sport. And so I was definitely fortunate enough to have reaped the benefits of Title IX, a piece of legislation that so many women before me fought for. It helped me get an education. It got me a scholarship to get an education in college and kind of set me up for my future. But now we're quickly seeing those opportunities being taken away from women. And unfortunately, we're having to, again, fight for Title IX in its original intent and fight for young women to have the same opportunities that I had in my sport.
You know, what's ironic, Caitlin, whether it's abortion, and I don't know how you feel about that. I'm not asking you, but I have a strong opinion that life is sacred and I don't like abortion. But whatever issue it is that the left is pushing, whether it's this transgender women in women's sports or it's abortion, it always hurts women. It just does. Whether women are beating their chests about their rights, they're actually losing their rights and they're losing their very special place in this world, I think. And I think I'm guessing that in this area, you certainly figured that out. So Riley is famous. She's told her story a lot. She's been on television, and I'm sure you have too, Caitlin, but we don't know your story as well. You were right there alongside Riley. She talks about the first time she saw Leah Thomas, which is who's Will. I should just call him Will because I don't like to play these silly mind games. He is Will. He's got the full package a man has. And so we'll call him Will Thomas, and people won't know what we're talking about. But when you first saw Leah / Will, did you kind of discover that he had, did you hear his reputation as Riley had, and you didn't really know who this Leah Thomas was? How did you come to know about him?
Absolutely, yeah. So I was teammates with Riley at the University of Kentucky. We swam similar events, and so we trained together every single day. And so, we were aware of each other's goals going into that NCAA championship meet back in 2022. And so, you're familiar, too, with a lot of the other competitors that you're seeing at this, high-level meet, arguably one of the fastest meets in the entire world. But obviously, we came to know of Leah Thomas, Will Thomas, earlier on in our season, it was a name that we had never recognized before. It wasn't, you know, from a school in which generated very good top-end swimmers. So it stuck out like a sore thumb. And so coming to find out that Leah Thomas was, in fact, Will Thomas, who competed at the University of Pennsylvania men's team for 3 years, only to then take a year off and then come back and start competing on the women's team. We were aware of this name. We knew that this was a male. But honestly, I couldn't believe it until the moment the buzzer went off and the heat was set off. Could I believe that they would actually allow a man to compete with women at our national championship meet? I honestly, it took till that moment for me to actually believe that the NCAA, who that very same year was celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX, was allowing this to happen before my very eyes. So that was shocking. But what was even more startling for me and traumatizing was the environment we faced in the locker rooms, which, of course, isn't a place of modesty. We're undressing. We're exposing ourselves. But obviously, it's, you know, a place of socialization as well. You're talking with people you've known for most of your careers, catching up with them. And, you know, of course, the pre-meet jitters are there and you're excited and stuff. But to have that environment be changed to one of fear, of vulnerability and discomfort, to turn around and see a male as you're fully exposed and changing, seeing a man changing there and also simultaneously fully undressed and exposing himself to us a mere 10 feet from me, I can't put into words how that felt. For me, I never thought in my life would I experience or see something like that. I felt betrayed by the NCAA, but I felt betrayed by every person who was at that meet, officials who work for the NCAA even, who allowed this to happen, didn't even forewarn us or ask for our consent or give us another option. But a year after that, after I experienced that at the NCAA meet, I hadn't taken a stance or shared my story. But my younger sister experienced something similar. She was kicked off of her swim team and banned from a YMCA because she spoke up about men going in and changing the locker rooms with her and her underage teammates. And speaking up about this, she was kicked off of her swim team, no longer able to swim, and banned from a YMCA of all places. That's when I started speaking up and sharing my story, my experience, and really the direction that this issue is headed. It's way beyond sports even, but obviously it's very important and we must take a stand on it. So that's what got me involved.
I've got so many questions. You know, I remember when that happened about your younger sister. I do remember that. I just didn't remember your name and her name. But this is like being sexually molested to have this happen. Because modesty is very important with women. It should be. That's, I think, God has created us as naturally modest. We don't naturally prance around when we are, especially in puberty. We hide because it's a good thing. Not hide. Maybe that's the wrong word. We protect. We're shy. And that's a good thing. Unless until you find a husband. I'm old fashioned, Caitlin. So before this situation with Leah Thomas, and the whole notion of men, you know, competing in women's sports, I'm guessing that most college-age girls at that time, even at the University of Kentucky, would be fine with transgender rights, fine with the whole notion of embracing transgenderism. And is that the case? Was that the case?
Absolutely. You know, I have no problem with people who identify as trans. I believe that God gave us the ability to live our lives the way that we want. But it is, you know, our First Amendment rights to be able to live our lives the way and speak our minds the way we wish. And so it's when someone else demands that we conform and affirm someone else's way of life, that's when it goes against our opportunities and our rights as women, especially when it comes to sports. It obviously goes against common sense. It goes against science, basic biology. We know that men have advantages over women. It's common sense. It's basic biology. It's not even a matter of an opinion. And so growing up in swimming, for example, we competed. I practiced with the men at times. But it's so obvious, you know, a male swimmer could be in the worst shape of his life, having taken months off of training And I could be in the best shape of my life, and they could still come in and blow me out of the water. Especially once you get to the college level, there's a stark difference between men and women. So it was unbelievable that the NCAA would ever allow a man to compete against us. And honestly, I didn't believe that they would ever allow it until I watched it happen with my own eyes. The moment that buzzer went off, I still could not believe that they would allow this to happen. But in fact, they did. It was absurd. It was a slap in the face to me, to every female athlete at that meet who had worked their entire lives to get to that level. It was insulting and utterly disrespectful to us.
You know, it's funny, isn't it, Caitlin? It's funny how you can theoretically believe something's okay, but then when you see it put to practice, yeah, this should be fine. This principle should be, if you want to call it a principle, a fairness or whatever you want to call that. But then when you see it actually happening and the repercussions, people just hadn't thought through the absurdity of what they were pressing. And then you guys really got caught in such a bad situation. I want to ask you a couple of questions. I'm not going to get too personal here, but I do want to know. It is true, first of all, that Will Thomas, Leah, a.k.a. Leah, has not gone through transition. He was a full man when you were in that locker room, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I believe that men can never be women and women can never be men. That's just science. It's biology. It's not my opinion. It's you know, just science. But, yeah, he was fully intact with male genitalia. He was allowed into our locker rooms to change. And truly, you know, this, again, with the sports and the locker room situation, it was truly a wake-up call, and it showed that even at the highest levels, women's sports, women's spaces, you know, were no longer protected.
His attitude, was he shy? Was he bold with his nakedness? Or was he just going about his business and not paying attention? It was still traumatic. I mean, that would be still bad. But which was it? Was he enjoying this moment, or was he being modest and shy himself?
You know, Sandy, this is a really great question. I thought about this. You know, did he have any sort of guilt or, you know, like for taking away opportunities, for infringing on our rights and our right to privacy in our locker rooms? But that's the opposite of how I saw him carry himself, how I saw him march into our locker room and start undressing as he felt he had the right to be there. You know, I don't point the finger at him. He was actually just following the rules that the NCAA put in place. They allowed this to happen, so it's ultimately their fault, and they're the ones who I blame. But at the same time, you know, people who suffer from gender dysphoria are dysphoric about the parts of their bodies in which make them the sex in which they are. And so for him to go into the locker room and expose himself to us, you know, it makes me question the real intent of someone going into the women's locker room and doing these sort of activities. Like, it makes me question, you know, is this someone who really truly believes they are a woman, or is it just, you know, I'm reaping the benefits of, you know, this whole experience and the organizations that are allowing me to do this and take away these opportunities from women. Obviously, I don't know this for sure, but it makes you question the intent of these people.
Yes. And that makes me think of your sister, Abigail. You know, I've covered this issue a lot, Caitlin. The organization I work for, American Family Association, actually sued Target back in 2016 because Target was the first place of business that they allowed men to change in women's dressing rooms. And we had lots of incidences of girls experiencing what you're describing. It wasn't a locker room, but still, it's a changing room, and men were coming in there and exposing themselves and taking pictures of girls changing their clothes. So
yeah,
we fought that. And so I've been at this particular thing a long time. But the YMCA thing was kind of I remember hearing those horrendous stories, like of these older men coming into locker rooms of young girls and really exposing themselves and gawking. And so this isn't like what your sister experienced, which I want to ask you about that, isn't like a one-time experience. This was like an epidemic we were having after this new understanding that men could go into women's locker rooms if they just said they felt like they were women. But in your case of your sister Abigail, can you tell us more about the perpetrator? Are you able to do that? I'm assuming you are.
Yes, of course. Well, when I got the phone call from my younger sister saying that she had been kicked off her swim team after going into locker rooms She was in tears, you know, at this point, explaining to me that after practice, she had gone into the locker rooms, as she always does, to change out of her swimsuit with her teammates. And she noticed someone sitting in the corner of the locker rooms in a chair. Of course, she isn't staring and, you know, purposely looking at people as they're in the locker rooms, but she noticed this person because they were just sitting in this chair, happening to be looking over at her and her teammates. And so after looking over at them a couple times, she noticed that this wasn't a woman. This was a man sitting in the women's locker room in a women's swimsuit watching them. And so, of course, she immediately felt uncomfortable. She felt fearful. She went to her coach, told him about this, that there were men in the locker rooms watching her and her teammates. And she was met with the response from her coach that they knew about this. There was nothing they could do about it. And if she felt uncomfortable, she could go and change in the individual locker rooms. Not the man, the men, there was a couple of them actually, parading around in their locker rooms and watching these young girls while they're changing out of their swimsuits. So that's not to say that they're going in necessarily, and I have heard of cases of men going in and exposing themselves in the shower rooms and in front of women. But even if they're not doing that, there are women exposing themselves to men in the locker rooms. So again, allowing this to happen, I don't care if people, you know, identify as trans or not, but this opens the door for any man to put on women's clothes or just dress as a man at this point and go into women's locker rooms and do whatever perverted actions he pleases. And we must be protecting young girls and women. Think about women who have been sexually assaulted and raped. They don't want to be walking into environments where they have to then fear for themselves. And no longer have a safe place to go. That is what we're doing to young girls and women, and it's absolutely horrendous.
It's repulsive. And the thing that's even worse is the response of the NCAA. And I'm going to go to a different story, same but different, that I'm sure you're very familiar with. This is the boxer from Algeria. I think it's called Iman Khalif, something like that. And this is, you'll hear first the story of what happened, because he knocked a woman, he beat a woman up in the ring at the Olympics. So you're going to hear a little bit of the story. Then you'll hear the person in charge at the Olympics making a decision about how to handle Khalif from Algeria or any transgender female athlete at the Olympics. And that's the part I want to concentrate on. So let's listen. This is clip two from Global News.
The International Olympic Committee is defending its decision to allow two boxers to compete in the women's division, despite the pair failing gender eligibility tests. Algerian Iman Khalif scored a lopsided victory in a match against Italy's Angela Carini on Thursday. Carini withdrew after just 46 seconds, saying she'd never been hit so hard, but says she wasn't making a political statement by quitting. On social media, Italy's prime minister questioned the equality of the fight. Khalif and another boxer from Taiwan were disqualified from last year's World Championships after failing an unspecified gender eligibility test. The IOC has called that test arbitrary.
The Algerian boxer was born female, was registered female, lived her life as a female, boxed as a female, has a female passport. This is not a transgender case. I know you're not saying that, but there has been some confusion that somehow it's a man fighting a woman. This is just not the case. Scientifically, on that there is consensus. Scientifically, this is not a man fighting a woman, and I think we need to kind of get that. This is a minefield.
I'm gonna interrupt. Let's interrupt, Adam. Minefields, so the point is, that's fantasy. I've seen that fight. And I'm sure that you watch that closely, Caitlin, given your circumstances. What is your take on what happened at the Olympics?
Well, for example, this sport, again, boxing is a combat sport. It's not just, you know, a game. The entire point is to inflict damage on your opponent, and putting women in the ring against men is completely unfair, but it's also dangerous. And, of course, the IOC wanted to swear up and down that this was a female, obviously. You know, there was a lot of controversy around that. But the IBA, prior to the Olympics, had come out and said that this Iman Khalif and this other male boxer, they found to be ineligible because they found XY chromosomes in the testing that they had done prior. But yet And they were able to release that proof shortly after, and which we've seen now, again, proves that these two were, in fact, men. They had XY chromosomes. Maybe they have lived their lives as females. But again, the science is very clear, and we've even heard statements from the opponents that went up against these males that they had never been hit so hard in yes. their lives and in their careers. But again, you know, this is a very combative sport. And again, this was a disgusting display that we watched. Essentially the normalization of male violence against women. That's exactly what this was. And if people are willing to accept this in sports, you know, where does it stop? This is setting a horrifying precedent, and it's glorifying it as progress, which is in fact the opposite of what this is.
Well, I totally, which makes the point again, that the whole progressive movement and the women's movement, really the women's progressive movement hurts women. It hurts women. And I remember when we would cover injuries to women, for instance, in abortion, because there were lots of injuries, but they never got reported. But the women's groups would, the women progressive groups would never say a word about it, because really they were more committed to other things than they were really protecting women. And that's what I see happening with all of this. I can't believe, though, that that international, the guy, the international person who was speaking about Imam Khalif, when you watch him box, he's obviously a man. The shoulders, the arms, he's not real buffed up, but he has a different body type. And so it's just fantasy, Caitlin. It's just fantasy, which brings us back to the NCAA. They are just refusing to change their policy unless there's something I don't know. Do you see there any being any movement there with them?
So after President Trump's executive order he signed to keep men out of women's sports, which we know, you know, isn't a permanent solution, it's only temporary because it can be taken down just as quickly as it was put up. But in reaction to this, the NCAA released a new policy that was to align with the executive order that President Trump so beautifully and thoroughly wrote, and essentially was the blueprint that the NCAA could have used to write a policy. Of course, we were excited to hopefully think that the NCAA was finally listening to us, finally listening to our pleas and our cries. For the past 3+ years, as so many women have been affected by men in women's sports, opportunities, roster spots on podiums, you know, exploitation in locker rooms, we thought maybe they had finally chosen to take a stand and do the right thing. But after taking a closer look at this policy, it has major loopholes still. It still allows men to participate on women's sports and go into women's locker rooms. So, again, this is not sufficient. This is not a good policy. It should not be praised as a good policy. And again, we have the upper hand here, and we should be demanding but nothing less than a Loctite policy that prevents what happened to me, to Riley Gaines, to Peyton McNabb, to so many other female athletes from ever happening again. And that is our goal, and we will not stop fighting until we have policies and laws in place that prevent those things from ever happening again.
Caitlin, why do you think that there is such an entrenchment on this? Why do you think? What's the genesis of that? What's the driving force to embrace something that is so obviously wrong and unnatural? And I'm not even talking about I'm not talking about God and nature. I'm talking about just the physiology of it, the imbalance of it, the unfairness of it. Who believes this is such a great idea that they would force this on women athletes?
I think, again, this is all an ideology. So there's been a strong push on not just in sports, but obviously across the board in women's prisons, domestic violence shelters, sororities even. You know, this has become an issue that the American people voted on this past November, this gender ideology issue. They're so sick and tired and fed up with the nonsense and this ideology being shoved down people's throats. I think ultimately it comes down to control, redefining truth, you know, because that's ultimately what we're being asked to do, is to deny objective truth, to deny the fact that, you know, men cannot be women and women cannot be men. You cannot change your sex. So ultimately, I think it comes down to control and how far are people willing to go to take a knee and bend to the powers that are above us, I guess. And I think again, the American people are fed up with it. They're seeing the common sense in it all. We see that the data shows that 80% of our country do not believe that men should be in women's sports and spaces. And I hope, Ben, that obviously we've seen the tides turning, so I hope we continue in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there is a lawsuit against the NCAA filed by, I think, a couple of women athletes. So that's in progress. Yes. But what we started out talking about today is the fact that there's a vote in the Senate tonight, and this is March the 3rd. This is a vote for cloture. So if it gets cloture, that means it will be voted on later this week or sometime soon. So it's not the if you do not make a phone call today, you don't have time, you're listening to this later in the day, don't worry. You should still make the phone call because the senators are going to be voting on the cloture is a vote to vote. They see if they can get 60 votes to allow a real vote on passing the bill. And it's Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And before I say goodbye to you, Caitlin, tell people what's in that bill. Give them an idea of how strong this is.
Yeah, no, this is a huge piece of legislation, a critical piece. If that it is designed to uphold fairness, safety, integrity in women's sports, protecting women, it ensures that Title IX protections remain intact by clarifying that sex refers to biological sex in sports. Therefore, men cannot compete in women's sports. And it protects women, it protects scholarships, it protects records, and it protects opportunities that belong to female athletes, and it upholds the safety and privacy of women in locker rooms and in sports facilities. So, you know, again, this is an 80-20 issue. Americans overwhelmingly support keeping women's sports just for women, and Senate Democrats today have a choice. They either stand with the vast majority of Americans who believe in fairness, or they cater to this radical ideology that ignores biological reality. So voters are watching, their people are watching, and anything less than full support of this S9 is a utter betrayal of women and girls that they claim to represent. So I hope that they make the right decision, and I hope that they represent the people in those states. And if they don't, ultimately, we are going to have them on record, you know, whether they stand for women or whether they do not.
Caitlin, what did you major in?
I was sports leadership and sports administration. I got my master's in that.
I think maybe there's some future for you somewhere else even, you know, because you're very articulate and you have a good understanding of this stuff and a lot of fight in you. So I know that something really good, God's going to do something good with you, Caitlin. So I thank you. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your courage. It, you know, courage breeds courage. I think we've heard that before. And so people are going to be inspired by your courage. And we thank you, Caitlin Wheeler. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Appreciate you so much.
Okay. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have a means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
God raises up leaders who follow his direction and serve him faithfully.
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Those who refuse to compromise his standards.
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
Here in the Christmas season of 1976, I sat down one night to watch television.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Well, that's the voice of Don Wildman, my good friend, who I worked with closely in Washington, D.C. Sandy Rios with you in this moment. This movie, Culture Warrior, is now available. It's free, and you can watch it now. It will tell you the story, and you're going to love it. Go to culturewarrior.movie. That's culturewarrior.movie.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And so I'm scratching my head. I'm looking up the name Leah Thomas. There's no history of this person until that season. None of it made sense. But I'll tell you, never once did it cross my mind that this could be anything other than a female. Never even crossed my mind. And we continued to stay in the dark until an article came out disclosing that Leah Thomas is actually Will Thomas and swam 3 years on the men's team at UPenn before deciding to switch to the women's team. I went to the same database where I was looking up the name Leah Thomas and looked up the name Will Thomas. And to literally no one's surprise, he was, I'll be nice, mediocre at best. That's generous. He was less than average when competing against the men, ranking in the same event the year prior, 554th in the nation in the men's, his rightful category, to again now switching to the women's, and not just number one, I mean total and utter domination of the entire country of women. Upon reading this, I was shocked, of course I was shocked, but really it was like this sense of relief is how I felt. Like, oh, duh, this makes sense, he's a man. And I thought the NCAA would see it that way. The same way I saw it, again, my teammates, my coaches, my family, how anyone with any amount of brain activity would probably comprehend this. But lo and behold, the NCAA did not. They saw absolutely nothing wrong with this. And so about 3 weeks before our national championships in March of 2022, they announced that Thomas's participation in the women's category was a non-negotiable, meaning there was nothing that we could do about this.
Oh, that's the voice of Riley Gaines telling her story from her perspective. She also says in that a speech that she makes that the thing that was really infuriating, too, about Will Leah Thomas is that Will won all of the events. If you've ever been a runner or a person competing, you know that there are sprints. There's things that people are really fast for short terms, and then there are people who are fast for long term, for things that last longer, longer races, and it's not the same people because they're built differently. And we're down to seconds here, or a second difference between people. That's how sophisticated things have gotten. And so because Will is a guy, he was able to win everything. He beat women in every category, which is just never, that never happens in the real world. And so I also then want to give a shout out to Senator Tommy Tuberville. The reason the Caitlin came to my mind is because I was in touch with Tuberville's office, and he is the one pushing this bill. It's again called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. It's his baby, and he's been pushing this for a long time. What I didn't know, and you might not know, is that he started his career coaching high school girls basketball at Hermitage High School in Hermitage, Arkansas. And that was shortly after the enactment of Title IX. So that, and we've discussed what that is. So he's been on this trajectory for a long time. He introduced this bill in the Senate as soon as he got in the Senate, and he's been working on it ever since. And the Democrats have stopped it every time. So now he's really pointing out, he's actually exposing some senators, and I'll give you an example. In the state of Georgia, 73% of likely Georgia election voters believe that Georgia state government should ban biological males for participating in girls' sports. 73% of likely Georgia voters. And guess what? John Ossoff and this supposed pastor, Raphael Warnock, are having trouble bringing themselves to voting for this. And so for those of you in Georgia, Senator Tuberville is calling them out because he wants you to know they need your calls. And again, I say you need to call. My advice is to call their local office, not their office in Washington. It's just much, much more personal. You'll get a local person who cares, generally speaking. Washington is much less personal. And so that's my advice to you, and I would really encourage you to do that. So the bill, again, is called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, S-9 for Title IX. I think that's probably shorthand for S. You could just say S-9 for Title IX. And call. Always be respectful, but be firm. And speak your mind to your friends who are now in Washington making, you know, on one side of the aisle, they're making horrible choices. On the Republican side, it's like there's a revival going on. Well, that's an overstatement. But they are really seeing the light. Many of them are voting in ways they hadn't voted before. I thought you could never move them with a stick, but they are being moved with a stick. Maybe Donald Trump is the stick, but I'm happy because some good things are happening right now. Well, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Caitlin. Wasn't she delightful? And you know, again, that you can write us, you can call us. Sandy@AFR.net is the email address. 662-821-2040 is where you can call us and leave a message. We would love that. And before I say goodbye, I want to thank Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.